Project. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Galavan interviews Jess Perlitz and Joel W. Fisher about their shows at Hoffman Gallery. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support. To keep informed and get involved, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. And now, at the top of the hour, is Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary, but first this announcement.
Have you heard?
KBOO hosts Beloved Community in Action movie nights every third Thursday at 7 p.m. right here at the radio station. On March 15th, we'll show the film Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars, a documentary film about the band composed entirely of refugees displaced to Guinea during the Civil War in Sierra Leone. Again, that's a screening of Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars in for the KBOO Beloved Community in Action movie night on Thursday, March 15th at 7 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, March 13th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Community, sanctuary, solidarity. It's the hour of the hoobug, people. It's time to get out in the streets, rain or no rain. It really is. It's time to raise collective voices above the pixels and get out there. Because what we formerly knew as the U.S. government is quite clearly far off the rails. If there is a government at all, if there is anybody driving the train. So Tillerson, he comes back because he hears there's some important things going on in D.C. Top of the list is him getting canned by Trump. There's nobody left. And Trump really does believe that all power is vested in his pudgy little fingers. He does believe that, you know. He really does believe that he can make proclamations, decrees, and any number of medieval-type PA announcements. And that it's all legit, because he's what? He's the president. And nobody could be more surprised than Trump himself. He's way over the hill as far as being a TV celebrity. But it does indeed look they're going to burn through all the top shelf Republican names. And in the chaos at the White House, not to be confused, of course, with the good energy at the White House, two very different things, they'll end up rehiring the usual stalwart Democrats. Not such a great thing either. But anything is better than what we have now, unless and until we learn how to use that chaos in the White House to our benefit. This is our moment. This is our time to hit the streets. If ever there was, this is a big loophole, and we can drive our own train through the loophole if we do have the courage to get out, raise our collective voices. One group, of course, and you know them well, the Reverend Billy and Salvic Tree and the Church of Stop Shopping and the Choir. They've been doing some serious business. It's a laughing matter, but it's also a serious laughing matter on immigration. They stand between families being torn apart and ruined, and families being embraced as the American citizens that they aspire to be and that they truly are. So we want to welcome the Reverend Billy of the Church of Stop Shopping. Reverend Billy, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, I'm honored to talk with Portland today. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah indeed. Hallelujah. We can get people out. We need to, you know, we all need to be inspired, and you're definitely the inspiration. But you guys have been getting arrested and really taking some serious risks for what you believe in. Tell us a little bit about some recent actions and how people are faring in the aftermath.
Well, I just came from the courthouse in Lower Manhattan, and in a snowstorm here. Nine members of the Stop Shopping Choir were in two different trials running simultaneously. The interesting and kind of unprecedented, feels that way, fact of these trials is that the city, between the date of our arrest, climbing up into public monuments and so forth, occupying ledges and trying to drop banners that say stop the deportations, between and this moment, the city has seen the error of their ways and has declared itself sanctuary city, both the city council and the mayor. And so we were interested to see if the prosecutor got the word, you know. So we, just being offered a bunch of credit for time served and, you know, community work cleaning up parks and what have you. So
you can't make this stuff up.
We were interested to see what change would have seeped down into the prosecutorial apparatus of the district attorney's office. But it feels good. We're going back 2 days from now. We've organized a bunkathon around one of the prisons, and I'll be out on the sidewalk being my sidewalk preacher self, and the Stop Shopping Choir will be singing as they pedal, and then later in the week we're going back to the Statue of Liberty. So we're not letting up on trying to get New Yorkers to sense the 1938 Germany aspect of these immigration cops that pull up to the front of people's houses, and they pretend they're police, and they pull parents out the front door while their children are clinging to their legs. You know, it's just outrageous, the cruelty.
And the fear that they sow, that has repercussions that fell all the way down the social line. I would guess that no one would call the cops no matter what was going on. Nobody would call the fire department if their house was on fire. Nobody would take their kids to the doctors if the kids were at death's door. All down the line, it's instant karma. I mean, we feel it right away. All of us should feel it right away. If not, in the sheer cost of this hideous policy, program, what have you, we should feel it in our hearts. I mean, how can people, how do they do it? They elected Trump, I guess, so all bets are off.
Well, we'll just set aside the statement that they elected Trump. I mean, Trump lost the popular vote and obviously was playing with the numbers in various ways, but
We definitely say that in quotes. He wasn't in any way elected at all, of course. It wasn't an election, just for starters.
We have a problem with the fact that we have been middle class for too long. We've been shopping too much. We've been sitting in traffic jams with popular music coming into our head. We have become so not just used to comforts. That's one thing, but we have become we have signed up for a consensual hypnosis as a larger culture, and getting people out of their schedules, getting them to stop that repetitious route that they take, dropping off the kids at school and going to work and going to the recreation and going to the yoga dance. And, you know, I mean, the people have filled up their lives with non-emergency. You know, they haven't had the sensation of saving their own life for a long time. And so that's a cultural shift. Change, hallelujah. How do we do that? How do we get them back? How do we get them back to the emergency at hand?
Well, you know, there are public intellectuals now who are beginning to talk about this stuff actually publicly, which is a nice change. And one question that arises, I wanted to see what you say, is that people, as long as a group of people are kept just barely comfortable enough and in fear of losing that comfort at any moment, so that people are living in a constant state of anxiety and at the same time fulfillment through, you know, shopping. The word shopping, of course, stands for a great many just consumption of goods and services in general. But when you have nothing to lose, you fight harder. I mean, any look around the world at any uprising against an amoral or immoral ruling class.
Well, that's why it's been so mesmerizing to middle class acculturated people. It's been so mesmerizing when Occupy Wall Street does happen, when Standing Rock does happen, when Ferguson, Missouri erupts in anti-racism, when Me Too, when the Women's March takes place, when suddenly you have a group of people who are ready and willing to step away from that consumer society. We all watch. There's nothing as dramatic as that. There's no movie, there's no play, there's no drug, there's no opioid. There's nothing as dramatic as when we do step out and we proclaim ourselves free. And very quickly, the military surrounds us, and very quickly we're bad-mouthed, and very quickly, you know, Occupy Wall Street lasted 8 weeks. You know, Standing Rock lasted about the same. I mean, these are brief flickers of freedom, but they are terribly important. And I think it's clear that they're adding up to something. They're adding up to something. Every time you take that step, now the Parkland, the Colin Kaepernick taking the knee, you know, every time there's a step, the United States starts remembering the civil rights movement and the peace movement, starts remembering the gender rights movement, the movements come back to life. And that's happening now. I'm optimistic. Change, hallelujah.
It's a cumulative process, and I think that the more times people are taken away from the screens and the hypnotic effect of that, where you can push a button and, you know, give money to the cause of your choice. I shouldn't say that because we're an independent community radio and we've got a button for people to push. Go ahead, push it. But also, people need to get out. And I think it gives people courage. It gives people heart. And it like what you've been doing with the Church of Not Shopping and the choir has been consistent over years and years, and more people want to be, they see what you guys do and they want to be part of that. And that's something that needs to be reiterated all across the country. There needs to be every town iterations of that. Of that attitude, of that approach.
Paul Ehrlich and Ann Ehrlich, you know, the authors of The Population Bomb and many other books. Paul and Ann Ehrlich made a statement when asked, what will it take for us to save ourselves? And they said, the evidence points to the need for a general transformation, a quasi-religious transformation of contemporary values. And we believe that in the Church of Stop Shopping.
Oh, yes.
We think it's going to be a shift in our chest. It's going to be not a new policy, not a new opinion, not the acceptance of new morals. It's going to have to be a change in our soul, a physical change. Emma Goldman said, if you're not dancing in your evolution, I don't want to be a part of it. That dancing is not just having fun. Dancing is hearing the beat.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a change. So that we keep singing. We keep singing in all the wrong places. And that's our theory, you know, that singing changes people.
Oh, well, you're in court.
We were so lucky to be in Portland recently singing.
Yeah.
We're glad to be in Portland a few months ago singing at the old church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you many, many, many times over for words of encouragement and inspiration today, because there's madness in the White House, and this has got to be our moment. Take advantage of it. This is
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much again.
Hallelujah, everybody. Thank you for talking with me today.
This is Reverend Billy, of course, of the Church of Stop Shopping. This has been Air Cascadia for March 13th, 2018. Judy Fiesel engineered the show for us today. Thanks to Derek Crooks, is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of PDX Short Docs, Sunday, March 18th at 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater.